You know, the worst part is you can write down all the pod topics you want. I never know how to start this shit.
Hello, fellow podders.
We're back.
Podcast? More like rodcast. Well, you cast your rod into some...
Bro, we've been having some funny-ass conversations where I hear this all the time on the Joe Rogan podcast. He's like, we were talking about this before the podcast, but I told you to stop talking and save it for the podcast. We're going to just be doing that.
Save any of this shit.
I'm going to do that with Courtney. She's going to like be telling me a story. I'm like, just save it for the podcast.
Babe, wait. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just save it for the podcast. Save it for the
pod. Come on. This could be views right now.
Here we are.
Back the first one. The first one on the list. How fucked up it is to call it a lazy eye.
Oh, yeah. I heard someone say one time, they were like, that's such a dumb fucking diagnosis. You like go into the doctor's office and you're like, doctor, what's wrong with my eye? And he's like, well, it's just fucking lazy.
Lazy shit. You got that welfare eye, bro.
Like imagine having a heart attack and the doctor comes in and it's like, well,
lazy heart.
Just fucking piece of shit, lazy heart.
He had EBT heart.
Yeah. His heart was making under $25,000 a year.
It was fun getting to see those two homeless people on the side of the road screaming at each other. Oh, actually, one of them had a home, so fucking faker.
Yeah. It's weird to see.
Every year the holidays roll around, the like panhandling on the side of the road goes crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I had a podcast topic, but I didn't know how to write it succinctly. Sometimes I feel like I say things that I think other people construe as racist. And so I'm like, because I'm from the South, I feel like I'm like more.
This is already coming off bad. Go ahead.
God damn it. I don't know. Like, I'll be telling a story.
You're off to a terrible start.
I'll be telling a story and he'll be like, yeah. And then this like black lady at the store. And in my head, I'm like, why did I call her a black lady? Why did I have to say that? Is it because I'm racist?
I do
from
get
the South?
When they're like, who? And I'll be like, Jimmy over there. And they're like, which one?
Come on, don't make me say
don't make me feel weird.
It's black Jimmy.
When I was on the East Coast, it was way less. I had two of my best friends in the friend group. We had white Phil and black Phil.
Nice.
And it was funny because we tried really hard to use any other, like, what was it called, pronoun?
Yeah.
And we'd be like, oh, we'll call one Phil and the other one Philip. Or black Phil's last name was Udagu. And we're like, oh, we can just call him Udagu. And it just, nothing, no matter what, nothing ever stuck.
Black
and Phil. It just like always reverted back. We had, well, there was my freshman year, there was white Donald and black Donald. White Phil, black Phil. I think that was it.
We had two throwers on the team named Brian, and one was white and one was black, but one was really big and one was really small. So it was just little Brian and big Brian.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is with the Nates.
Yeah. Little Nate, big Nate. Were those Phils like the same exact size?
I mean, not like the same size. They're both pretty big, though.
Yeah. One had short hair. One had long hair.
Both had short hair. Damn. There was like no, I don't know. There was no like good way. I mean, we could have gone like last names.
Did
or
the
middle
white
names,
did
maybe.
The white Phil had straight hair?
Well, neither of them wanted to be called Philip. Mm-hmm. Neither of them wanted to go by their middle or last name. And so we're like, guys, you're not leaving us with a lot of options here.
What about Philly?
Philly.
Philly.
We did call him Phil Square. I mean, they were like best friends though. So they were Phil Squared.
Mm.
And so cool. I feel like it's less weird as long as they're best friends.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking about with Austin the other day. Like, we call him Billings because we had two Austins. We had Austin Billings and Austin Eckenroth. But Austin Eckenroth killed himself. So now there's just one Austin.
Damn.
But we still call him Billings.
His last name was Eckenroth?
Yeah. What? I'm good.
You guys couldn't call him Eckenroth?
That's so no, amazing. we called him Eckenroth. We called Seriously? Him Eckenroth and then the other one Billings.
Oh, that's funny.
And then he died and we still call Billings Billings.
Damn.
Yeah.
He'll kickflip.
Yeah. And then, you know what's crazy was, so Austin Eckenroth was on the team, and then like 2 years later, right, when I was a fifth year senior, one of the kids, like one of the new freshmen on the team, was named Austin Eck. Like Austin E-C-K, and that's how you spelled Eckenroth, with E-C-K, Roth. And it was like, whoa. And when we told him, he was like, that's crazy.
Hold on, I just got a notification on my phone that I have a private right now, but I definitely don't.
Damn, dude.
That and, would suck.
And you're a little goobered right now.
I'm not goobered, fuck you. I woke up like this.
wake and wake. What would be the equivalent of wake and bake, but the, like wake up and goober?
Wake up and goober?
Right. Like you need to like find something that rhymes with
Uber and goober.
Uber and goober? No. What rhymes with goober? What? How do you, the fuck do you spell rhymes? Goober.
All right. Just had to text her, make sure.
Tuber, Gruber, Zuber, Ruber. Zuber and Goober, baby.
You got a new tat.
Yeah. Glad you saw.
It's You've funny. Got Nikotsky. Nikotsky cloud on there.
Yeah, pretty thick.
If you get, like, I'm sorry, I love anime. Big fan. If you get an anime tattoo specifically, you're a fucking nerd.
I don't know. I could like see a really cool artist. Like, okay, if you just get like the scout symbol from like just the symbol from Attack on Titan, it's like, all right, take it easy, fucking weed. But when you like incorporate it into like some cool artistic piece, like I saw one that was like Naruto's like sage form, but like half of his body was like zombified.
Whoa.
And just look cool. I'm about to cough my brain out. All right.
That's hot.
And we're back. Good thing we have a cough button, right? Fuck. We're not.
Y'all got a button for that?
But yeah, so we've been telling some funny stories lately. Not on the pod, unfortunately.
They were just really funny.
What was like, you wrote down worst date story, first date story.
Oh,
worst,
this one was funny. I don't know why, but this story comes up. Anytime I do go on like a Tinder date, by the way, like I'm so single, I've resorted to like Tinder dates and Hinge dates.
Yeah. It's great. Pretty sad actually. It's,
so much fun. This was like, I don't know why, but every time I go on a date,
you bring another girl over, she walks in and I go, oh, another one.
Oh, and they're just like, what? Nothing. Don't listen to him. He's got a lazy fucking brain.
I ever tell you did I tell the story on here or tell you the story of that fat girl that Audie brought? On the Tinder date?
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell it on here?
He was like, I don't think you did on here.
Okay, yeah.
He was like too nice.
Yeah, he was too nice to like tell her to leave, but she walks in to our old apartment and she's pushing three bills, right?
No.
Big girl.
No
like,
way.
Like we could hear her coming up the stairs because we lived upstairs. And she walks into our apartment. Audie walks in first and kind of like gives us the eyes like, don't fucking say anything.
And you guys then, hadn't seen her yet?
And she squeezed her way through the door. And me and Nate just looked at each other and we were like, yo.
Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
And they walked immediately into his room. And I can't remember if she spent the night or not. But then she left and Audie like walked her out to the car, walked back. And me and Nate just let him have it. We were like, God damn.
What was his excuse was that he didn't want to hurt
like,
her feelings.
Yeah, he was like, oh, she was just so nice. And I could tell she was in love with me. And I just felt bad saying no.
Like, oh my god.
Damn, bro.
But that's yeah. So
okay,
funny.
So first date story.
What okay. I don't know story? Why. This probably now that I'm saying it out loud, it's weird that every Tinder date I go on now, for whatever reason, one of the topics that comes up is like, oh man, Tinder dates, am I right? And they're like, haha, yeah. And I was like, what's your worst date? So I was like, 'cause it's funny.
She's like, this one.
they're probably like, well, I can't wait to tell this one. And like they'll tell me theirs, and it'll be like just some guy being like an upright asshole, and I'll be like, "Oh, that's weird. Mine's way funnier. Listen to this." And I like bring up the topic just so I can tell this story. And what it was is, it actually wasn't my Tinder date. My roommate at the time had a Tinder date who wanted to bring her friend, and he like opens up my door, and he's just like, "Hey, man, like you have to come and go on this double date with me." I was like, "All right." And so their plan was, there's this hotel.
Get closer to the mic.
You can't tell me what to do.
Okay, put your mouth on the mic.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you want the mic about a fist away from your face?
Yeah, I'll put a fist inside of your...
There you go.
I'm not going to finish that. So the date was, there's this hotel off... It's like right across the street from the Arizona State football stadium. And it's this huge hotel. And at the very top is a hot tub with like fire pits. And like there's like glass walls instead of like real walls on top. And so it's like this cool setting. And you can just... kind of sneak in. And so he was like, yeah, we're going to go to this hot tub and go up there. He had never met his date before. I had obviously never met her friend. And we go up there, we get in the hot tub. And the first thing I ask her, I was like, oh, so like, what the fuck do you do? Like, just trying to like strike a conversation. I've told you this one.
Yeah, this is hilarious.
I was like, what do you do all day? And she's like, oh, I run track. And this is while I was on the Arizona ASU track team. And I was like, really? Where? And she goes, ASU. And I, like, Sam kind of shoots me a look. My buddy shoots me a look. He's just like, do you know her? And I was like, I don't know. And in retrospect, I was like, okay, the ASU track team is like not close at all.
First of all, like, was she hot?
6.5.
Okay. Out of 20?
It's like, I wouldn't call her bad looking, but I wouldn't, you know, break my neck.
She's like
looking that way.
She's like a Honda CRV. It's like you would like to drive it's, that car.
It was an economical choice.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. Definitely bad looking enough to have a good personality.
But you wouldn't tell anyone you drove a Honda CRV.
No. Okay. No. Yeah. I'm not going to flex my Honda CRV.
You'd never post a picture of it on your Instagram.
If you post a fucking picture of your Honda anything on Instagram, I don't care how clapped out it is. Fuck you. Yeah. It's this. Come on, man.
Unless it's a Honda Lamborghini. Get the fuck out.
I don't think that's a...
Imagine a stretch Honda Civic.
Stretched. Anyways, this girl, this clapped out Honda Civic I was on a date with.
This right.
She's like, yeah, I'm on the ASU track team. And I was like, oh, maybe I just assumed, oh, okay, she must be on cross country. I never see those guys. And I was like, really? What events? And she's like, oh, I'm a multi.
Now I know she was ugly.
She's like, I'm a multi. I do. Did you say ugly when she said multi?
No, I said, now I know she's ugly if she's on the distance team.
I feel like they're always really pretty. They're just like
so
too lean.
Skinny.
Like, too lean.
Yeah, okay.
Effectively lean. What were we talking about?
She said
she's a multi. And I was like, that's weird. I feel like I know the multis. We only had like two girl multis. And I was like, okay, like what all events are you in? Like if you're a multi, she's like, oh, high jump, long jump, sprints, and pole vault.
At least she could like name them all.
She sounded like she definitely knew track. Yeah. Like this girl for sure knew track. Don't spoil it.
Well, I was going to say at least she wasn't like, yeah, I'm a multi. I do hammer throw and I do the balance beam.
I do uneven bars and
I'm
skateboarding.
A kick returner.
But yeah. I'm on special teams. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Special D's.
Special D's nuts.
Anyways, she like rattles them off and then she's like, oh, and pole vault. And obviously I was like, okay, I would know. I'm on the pole vault. Like I'm a pole vaulter on this team. And I was like, really? What's your PR? It's just like the first question you shoot out. And she goes, oh, 15 feet. And boom, like there's the third red flag, right? Because like first track team, second multi, and I was like, oh, okay, but like maybe, like, you know, maybe there's a chance that in 3 years I haven't seen this girl. And she, you know, then she goes pole vaulter, and I was like, there's no way. She says pole vaulter who's jumped 15 feet, and I was like,
bruh.
I was like, I'm sorry,
15.
I was like, really? And like
that's like a dude who says he's on your team with you jumping 18 feet.
Yeah, like Sam. And what's funny is like her friend who's with her also heard this story and believes her.
And was her friend on the track team?
No, okay. Her friend was not on the track team. Okay. So this is a lie that not only was she telling me, but she is told amongst her entire friend group.
Just a regular NAF.
I guess.
Non-athletic fuck.
Damn.
That's what we called him at Stanford.
I think Garrett said they called him muggles at Stanford. And I was like, That's
kind of racist.
That's kind of sus.
Yeah.
Don't call people muggles. That just makes you sound nerdy. We called them narps.
Yeah, we called them narps too.
But anyways, she like goes on and on. And like it had gotten to the point where like she was just burying herself in this story. I was like, 15 feet? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, that's really good. Like that's like top 20 in the world good.
And to give some perspective on this story, Nate's really good at lying. So
I'm.
Can...
that was actually another pod topic I was going to go to. There's. Oh, you guys are going to love that.
He loves embellishing things. Lying is the wrong word. He's an embellisher.
No, I lie about some shit, too.
Yeah, I am. I'm a liar. But he, I mean, I bet you could spot this from a mile away.
Well, yeah, I was giving her the benefit of the doubt at first, but I don't know. So she's going on and on about how she's like this great track and field athlete. And so I'm like, who's your coach? And she just like makes up a name. And I was just like, okay, I've never heard of it. I was like,
Neville Longbottom.
And I was like, whatever. I was like, just tried to change the subject. Cause I was like, I don't want to make it like just super weird. Cause it was so bad that it was just, I was like, oh, this is going to be so weird. And Sam, my buddy, kind of like nudges me. He's like, do you know her? And I was like, I've never seen her before in my life.
But you can't let it go.
And so, well, what happens is I go to get out of the hot tub, like the date's over, and I put on my Arizona State track and field shirt.
Oh.
which I had taken off as we'd like walked out there. So they like, it just didn't come up before that.
Right. And you never like told her like, hey,
and, well, I'm no, because the first thing I had asked her, I was like, oh, what's your deal? Like, and she just started rattling on and on. And she like kept talking about it. Cause this is like something when you're a liar, you do is like you like just keep oversell.
Talking. You usually keep talking.
Yeah. It's hard not to oversell it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like you try and make sure that like there's no way that they could find out. And so I'm guessing that's why she picked track and field. Cause who the fuck knows any track and field roster off the top of their head? Right. No one. I don't even. And I was on it. And so anyways, I put on the shirt and like literally just deer caught in headlights.
Mm-hmm.
And her friend was like, oh, you're on the ASU track team too? Like you guys don't know each other? And her friend like immediately like the backpedaling, she's like, oh, I'm on the club team. And I'm like, there's not a club team.
Fuck.
And she's like, well, actually it's, and I was like, it's fine. You, like, it's fine. Just don't even. Just. I was like, I don't want to ruin this. And her friend is still over there like, wait, but I thought you were on the track team. And
God.
I was like, just don't even. It's fine. I just like ran away.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst.
I can imagine her just like in her towel, like being caught in the lie and then just waddling away as quick as she could.
Like, what are the odds? Because what a perfect lie to tell.
I know. Yeah, it really
like,
is.
I was looking at it in retrospect. I was like,
I think it only could have been better if she was like, I'm on the ASU field hockey team.
We don't even have a field hockey
team. I know. Like, that's such an obscure sport. And then you get out and you like pick up your field hockey stick or something and you're like, oh yeah, bitch. Are you really on the field hockey team?
That was a great one.
Yeah.
No, I went on a couple other dates. You guys met one of them. She was pretty.
Talking about the
volleyball.
Oh yeah, yeah. That one was cool. Yeah, she was pretty. Her and her friend were just kind of weird. Like,
yeah. Well, her friend was also a liar.
Yeah.
This is like, wow, that's funny. I was talking about how
she was loud.
Well, I just like, okay, I like grew up. I don't know. This is going to sound really mean. So my dad's bipolar, right? And so it's not that he's
hot and cold.
A little bit.
Okay.
Yes. And he's no. And then he's out. Up and he went down, left and his right.
And then he kissed a girl.
He did like it.
Is that the same song?
And so anyways, not that like makes him a liar. Like, I'm sure I've got some kind of undiagnosed shit going on. I'm just going to leave it alone though. But there was like a lot of times growing up where it'd be like, oh, like he would tell me one thing that sounded really true. And then I would go and like talk about it with my friends and they'd be like, nah,
there's no way.
And I was like, okay. And like growing up, like your dad's your hero. Like whatever he says, like obviously is the truth. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of set this precedent where I've realized, like, I actually wrote we had to take like a psychology course at ASU and like one, or it was a class of like behavioral changes. And one of the projects during the class was you had to pick a behavior that you wanted to change using this guy's process. And I was like, okay, well, I have this habit of just like, here's my theory.
Bro, what if somebody wrote for that paper, I want to stop liking little kids.
Yeah, where's the confidentiality? Like, he's like, I'm not your psychologist. There's no confidentiality. But if you figure out how.
I want to stop being attracted to my psychology teacher.
I want to stop thinking that you're so hot. But my thing, I was like, oh, like I'm going to embellish her. Like what happens is I have these like fantasies in my head of things that I wish would have happened. And I'll just be like, yeah, that definitely happened. And I'll just tell everyone it happened. And that's like how it would go down. So like, it was weird breaking it down psychologically and like trying to like go through this guy's steps of like, oh, step one, like recognize it. Step two, write it down every time it happens. Step three, have like close friends who can hold you accountable. And so like, you know, I'm sure it dropped it a little bit. I still fucking do it because I'm really good at it. But anyways, now every time I meet someone who is just a natural, you know, bullshitter, it's painful. Because, yeah. I mean, what was the story she told me? She's like, yeah, me and my girls, we were in Mexico. And this gang was in the middle of the street. And so something, 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 he chirped at my friend. So I ran over there and knocked him out. This is a 90-pound...
MS-13 gang member.
90-pound girl. And she's like, and then the whole gang was pulling guns on us. So we ran to a cab. And I shook the cab driver by his shoulder and said, drive.
Just drive
And
away.
This was while there was a gang member reaching in through the window with a gun to my head. And the cab driver drove. And I'm sitting there and I was like, this isn't a good lie.
Yeah.
This isn't even kind of a good lie.
And then I hit him in the neck and stunned him. And he shit his pants.
I was like, oh, yeah, you're Black Widow? Because even in that movie, he's hard to follow.
even that movie's unbelievable because no way a woman
unbelievably wrong.
Yeah. That's
that was painful.
I don't have any like crazy first date stories because I just banged loads of chicks.
Loads
but,
of dudes.
But one that I think I've told you is there was this girl.
Oh, please tell me it's the J. Cole one.
No, that one, I was not on a date for that one, but that's my favorite. That was my buddy's date. But this girl that I like kind of liked, she had an Australian accent, so she wasn't like exceptionally pretty, but she was just
she had an Australian accent. We've talked about this before in the pod.
I will bang anything with an Australian accent.
I will do anything.
Yeah. If Joe had an Australian accent.
He's like, right, mate, my pants are dropped.
Yeah, get the peanut butter. she was cool, and whatever, she came over. I won't get into the details, but the funny part was I don't know her name. Like
what?
Like we were like good friends, but everyone called her by like some weird nickname that started with the J, and I could never remember what the nickname was. It was either like Yarpy or Yarpo.
What?
Or like
can you call people that?
Jargo.
This
or,
is one of those situations where the things you say.
Khal Drogo. I don't know. I don't.
Khal Drogo.
I don't know what the fuck her name was. So every time I would refer to her to my friends, I'd be like, "Oh yeah, Yerpo's coming over."
Or whatever her name is. Old herpes.
Yeah. Well, but she was like super cool. Anyways, she came over. It didn't go so well, and I just like straight up told her in the middle. I was like, "Hey, this ain't so great. So you're just gonna have to leave."
No way. You said it like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
I actually believe that you have no social skills.
Yeah. And so she left, and we never talked again.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I could probably find her on
Instagram.
She was
in the friend group?
Here, I could probably find her on Instagram now.
You gotta tell the J. Cole one.
So the J. Cole one was we're in my buddy's car going to Top Golf, and he has like a blind Tinder date sitting in the back seat. I'm in the passenger seat, and I think someone else might have been in the.
He was driving.
He was driving.
And she was in the back seat.
She was in the back seat.
That's kind of funny.
And so he puts on his phone like a J. Cole song, like, I don't know, the Rest in Peace Uncle Ben or one of those, and we're listening to it and like full blast, and I was like, damn, that's a good song.
This before all J. Cole songs are
it might have like been the sex one.
Yeah
it was the one where he's like, I never had sex before. All right, I'm not gonna look this girl up, but the girl after the song goes, man, that's such a good song, and I'm like, yeah, and she's like, play it again.
And these are like, long songs.
We're like, all right. And then we play the song, like the same song again, which when you're like kind of like buzzed up going to like a date, you're trying to play Ox, you know, trying to set the mood. She goes, wow, I love that song. Play it one more time.
No way.
I turn around. I'm
like 20 minutes of
J.
Cole.
I'm not fucking listening to this song. And then it got really awkward.
So now every time we're in the car together and a song finishes, I'm like, wait, one more time.
Play that thing again.
Yeah, you know, run it back.
Yeah. I don't have really many like first dates because I never really got into like the Tinder thing. I had one Tinder experience, but it was just a little weird. I knew she was pretty ugly from just her pictures, but I was like, yeah, I'll give it a chance. She was well endowed, and I met her at a bar with my buddies, and she was in the upstairs like part of the bar.
Oh.
And I went and saw her, and I was like, hey, I'm gonna go get drinks downstairs. So I walk downstairs. I'm like, guys, let's get the fuck out of here.
Oh.
And then we left, and she's like on the balcony seeing us leave. And I'm like, I look up at her, and I'm like,
ooh. You made eye contact?
Yeah. And then we just like skirted away down the street. And then she texts me, and she was like, is it because I don't look like what I look like in my pictures? And I just never responded.
Sad. Well, I think it was Hernia Girl.
Hernia Girl. Oh, yeah.
She told me to start telling. I'm trying not to like dox all our friends on the pod.
You can say it, and then we can go back and like bleep out their
name. I'm never gonna do that.
Okay, never.
she told me to start telling stories about. I mean, the most recent one, I got like guilt tripped at the end of this one. So I go on a date with a girl last Friday, and it went all right. It was just, I don't know. It was, she was definitely an NPC. You ever, like, some people are definitely computers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing wrong with her. Like, she was nice. She was, you know, cool enough. But it was just like, definitely an NPC. She had like a set amount of things she could talk about, and no matter how hard I tried, like, there was no getting around it. But anyways, she texted me like immediately after the date, before I had even made it to my car. She was like, oh my god, like, I felt the sparks flying on that one. Like, I just, because like some guy on the street like came up and like played guitar for us. She's like, I think it's a sign, like, I can't wait to see you again, like this, that, and the other. And I was just like,
baby,
like, I didn't know how to, like, I wasn't gonna like just douse her excitement right then and there. So I was just like, oh, hope you get home safe. Like, I tried to just, like, be polite. And then over the next week, she's just like, Snapchat every 5 seconds and text and this, that, and the other. She's like, when do I see you again? Blah, blah, blah. And finally, like, you told me to just be straight up with her. And so I was like, I text her in the car and I was like, hey, you know, I had a great time. You're a great person. I just didn't really feel it. Sorry.
That, I think that's one thing I'm really good at is breaking up with girls.
You strike me as someone who'd be good at that.
Yeah.
I think I've dated girls on accident because I just didn't know how to not. I remember in high school that being a thing where it was like, oh, I started hanging out with a girl.
I feel like you can't break up with girls because then girls get all emotional and be like, please. And you're like, okay. Like, well, keep it going for a while. I'm like that guy with the cheese is under the sauce. I'm like,
Jesus under the sauce.
I don't like you anymore.
But we had such a good time. I don't like you. But we picked out our baby names. I don't like you very much.
Well, you Snapchatted me for 3 weeks. Yeah, I don't care.
Well, afterwards, she was just like, oh, like, we can still be friends, like, whatever, this, that, and the other. And I was just like, oh, okay. And then she's like, she texted me again because we were going to have plans to meet up that night. And she's like, so I'm guessing this means we're not meeting up anymore. And I was like, yeah.
And no.
And I was like, trying to be polite. I was like, yeah, like, sorry I didn't, like, bring this up sooner. And she's like, oh, wow, you really didn't want to see me again. And I was like, I just can't respond. Like, I'm making, like, it worse.
You should have sent her, like, a Getty Images thing of just the word hint. And be like, here, take this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember in the car, you were trying to do that. Me and Courtney were, like, giving you advice. And I was like, bro, just tell her no.
Yeah.
Just like a dog.
Back away.
No.
Back, I say.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
What do we have next?
Explaining our fashion style.
Yeah, you put this one on. You have a fashion style. It's dressed like a homeless guy.
Yeah, you know, homeless guy whose clothes don't really
fit. Where did you find your last jacket? The side of the road?
Yeah. Well, literally, Audie and I found it. And Audie was like, yeah. And he, like, washed it. And it didn't really fit him because his arms were kind of long. And he's just a lanky, weird-shaped guy. And I'm pretty weird-shaped, too. But it fits me a little better. And I swear, it's like a prisoner's jacket, except for it has, like, zippers and buttons on it.
It looked like a construction jacket.
Yeah, something like that. It has, like a number on it. Like,
it's sick. It's like this. Is it corduroy?
It's like a corduroy Carhartt jacket.
Yeah. Like, the cool dark tan.
Yeah.
It looks sick.
Yeah.
Is that what you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. I just think, like I would describe my fashion style as, like, wannabe blue collar hipster. That's kind of mine. Like,
I feel like I just copy whoever's around me.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. It's like jeans with boots and,
like, when I'm over at my parents for an extended period of time, they're in the middle of bumfuck nowhere.
Country.
All of a sudden I come back wearing cowboy boots and button down shirts and shit.
What I really want to dress as is Rip from Yellowstone. Just
I still haven't seen it.
Cool black jacket, cowboy hat. That was one thing I was thinking about the other day with cowboy hats is, like, when you wear a cowboy hat and you've never worn a cowboy hat before, that's, like, a big deal. Like, you can't just casually wear
a cowboy hat. Yeah, no one, like, you don't get to ease into it. Like, there's no small cowboy hat.
Let's say you're someone who never wears, like, baseball caps.
Yeah.
And then you wear one. It's just like, oh, he's wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah, it's such a casual thing.
But if I, like, showed up somewhere in a cowboy hat, everyone would be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? But I want to wear one so bad.
I know you do.
So what needs to happen is, like, I need to, like, be invited to, like, country things, like a rodeo or, like, something where it's acceptable.
We gotta go to Buffalo Chip.
Where like, I have, it's acceptable. Oh, is that like a cowboy dancing thing?
It was, there's two things I hate, country and bars.
Mm.
And so I get invited out on a double date to a country bar. Hell, and I was like, cool, I'm going to blow my head off. Can't wait. And I pull up and it's an event, man. This bar is like,
it's a movie.
It's on like 2 acres. You walk into this tiny little saloon, you kick open the doors. And it was like old person bar. And I was like, oh no, there's like karaoke going on in the corner. And it's really sad old men with big mustaches singing. Yeah. And then you walk out of it and it opens up. It's like you walk into a little building, you walk out and it's like it's backyard of the bar. And there's a huge, like there's bull riding going on.
Fuck yeah.
Which my buddy told, I don't know if I believe it.
Mechanical
my buddy told
bull
me.
Or like
no, real bull.
Oh my God.
There's a whole like horse arena dream. On the other side of the bar where people are like, there's like real cowboys like doing, you know, barrel racing or bending poles or whatever. And then my buddy told me, he's like, oh yeah, like apparently if you sign the waiver, like any idiot off the street can go hop on a bull.
Fuck yes.
There's no way.
I wouldn't do it when I'm competing. If I was no longer, like, if all of a sudden I didn't have pole vault, I would absolutely do that. If I was drunk at a bar and they're like, yeah, you can sign up to ride this bull, I'd be like, sign me the fuck up.
I mean, we were in, do you know what FFA is? Future Farmers of America.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's like this kid, or 4-H was like the kid version of that.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what 4-H stands for. It's like hands, heart, health, and
Hebrew hella nationals.
Hella bitches. It's where you, like, you know, ours was, I raised a pig for 6 months, then we'd take it to the state fair and show it, and then and sell then it.
Eat it.
And then eat it. And anyways, like, one of the events they'd have is, like, you'd go to these gymkhanas where people are racing horses, and if you're little enough, they'd let you ride a sheep.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bull. And so I was really small for a really long time. So I was way older than the other kids.
What are you talking about? You're still small.
No. I am fucking huge now. God damn it. God. I was like, I remember vividly, like, my weight would follow my grade. Like, in fourth grade, I was 40 pounds. In fifth grade, I was 50 pounds. In sixth grade, I was 60 pounds.
Damn.
I was really
small. You were 120 at 12th grade?
Basic. I would have been. Oh. I think I broke that curse at 10th grade. I went from like 95 pounds to like 130. But anyway, so I'm in like fifth grade, I'm 50 pounds, and every other 50 pound kid is in like second grade. And right. So, because like it was like a weight limit thing, and they would have these competitions where like my mom would go and ride her horse at this barrel racing thing, and they'd be like, all right, time for the little tykes to go hop on a sheep and see who lasts the longest.
And then your mom was like, hey, can my 16-year-old kid, though?
So I'm out there, I'm 12, everyone else is 4. Beat the brakes off those kids.
You're like,
they didn't stand a chance.
You're like putting this sheep in his chokehold.
That was the sheep whisperer, man.
What was the thing where you had to wrestle the little baby cow?
Oh, that's that. I never did that. That was like a...
That's some fucked up shit, man.
Dude, honestly, it's so fun.
Like, imagine, like...
Well, they have, like, these, like, father-son where, yeah, you, like, they both shoot out on a horse, and there's, like, a cow that shoots out at the same time, and the dad hooks the horns,
yeah.
And the son hooks the feet, and the son has to hop off, and you just bulldoze this cow over and wrap up its feet.
There's got to be a name for it. You know how I know? Because so we would cow tip in high... Well,
no way. You actually did it?
No. We would go out and try to attempt it, but then every time we'd go, my friends would be like, I don't want to break the cow's ribs.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, bro, they like...
I only saw that in Barnyard.
Like, people at rodeos fucking double-leg cows, and they're fine.
Yeah, they shoulder-check the shit out of them.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I've always wanted to do, like, rodeo shit like that. But, yeah, anyways, that's kind of my fashion style. It's like, wannabe country slash...
Wannabe country?
Slash Mexican mechanic.
I wouldn't even go as far as that. I'd just say garage grunge.
Garage grunge. That's a good way.
Like, if we got you one of those navy blue jumpsuits.
Oh, yeah.
With your name on the side.
Well, I have that gray Carhartt, like, work shirt. Oh. And every time me and Courtney go out to dinner, I put it on and she's like, no.
Please.
I'm like, come on.
How are they going to know I'm a man?
Just looks like I got off work at Pep Boys.
It wants to be hard so bad.
It looks like here in the notes you put a... smiley face?
Yeah. I'm just really happy all the time, I guess.
Oh, no. What I was going to talk about was poll choices. So, for Texas, what polls are you bringing for Texas?
Well, at a whopping 5'9", 149. I just feel like I have to lead with that because people will be like, oh, what did you jump your PR on? And I'm like, a 15'6", 170. And they're like, what? Yeah. Fuck you. It's big. I've jumped... What's the highest bar you've cleared on the smallest poll? I've jumped... My first ever 16-foot clearance.
Shortest or like...
Just small.
Softest.
Just small. Like my first ever 16-foot jump was on a 14.6, 165. And then my first 5-meter clearance was on a 15, 165.
Hmm.
And then my first 520 was on a 15.6, 170, which was also my first 530 clearance. And then I cleared 530 one other time on a 175.
So my I jumped 550 on a 15.6. It was like a... I don't remember.
15.6?
Huh?
Dang. What? I didn't know you did it on a 15.6.
Okay, this is actually a very funny story. So it was at this like very rinky-dink meet in college where... It was not a college meet. I was there coaching high school kids.
What? And
it was a high school meet. It was just pole vaulters in the middle of nowhere. And like, so the girls get done jumping. My girls jumps like, you know, freaking like 9 feet and whatever. They jumped good. And it was in between the guys and girls. And one of the coaches was like, hey, Trey, do you want to like show off for the kids? And I had like my poles on my car for whatever reason. I think like I was like moving them somewhere. And they were like kind of like short run poles. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I went from a 6 left, and Chris, my buddy,
you
Chris,
jumped 550 from 6 for your first time.
No.
Oh,
this was my first time. But I jumped 35, and then right after 35, like a torrential like windstorm came in, but it was a tailwind. I mean, I'm talking like 30 mile an hour winds, like, whoa, just brrr, like. And so then I grabbed like a really stiff 15.6. I want to say, like, I don't remember the flex, but it was like a 205.
Are we jumping at 1, by the way?
Yeah. So leave it like 11:35 or something.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so it was the most bar love I've ever received in my entire life. But 550, like, just and literally no warm ups. Like, I mean, I did like a couple high knees and a couple sprints, but I jumped a 20, a 35, and a 50, and I was like, there you guys go. And then yeah, I wish I could remember the flex on that pole. It's one of the 15.6s that are at Samford, so I'm sure I could like go back and find my pole list at Samford. But yeah.
But you know what's kind of sick? Andy Najat listens to this.
Oh yeah,
that guy's sick.
I've never met him, but
really,
he posts a lot of cool stuff.
I run into him at like Reno or Expo or whatever. He's always like mad chill.
Yeah, Inside the Oval is cool because that's all field events, or is it just pole vault?
Inside the Oval.
That's his like Twitter.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was
it's his like newsfeed Twitter thing.
That's sick.
Yeah,
dude. Honestly, I'm gonna say, like, I think the coolest club that I'm not a part of has got to be the Buckeye one, Buckeye Pole Vault.
Oh yeah.
With I don't know that one. God, how am I spacing on this? We see him at every meet. I used to like worship his jump. The coach there. God dang it! How am I spacing on this name? Oh, I feel like an idiot. Austin Hicks.
Oh, I love Austin.
Yeah, he's like, well, I remember watching him in high school because he's like, one, I would get hype whenever I saw someone small pole vaulting high because I was like, oh, I'm small.
He's not that small.
I think I got him by a couple inches.
No. You're talking about Austin Hicks, like who's friends with Paul's Pugis? Or
Poop? No, you're thinking Austin Crenshaw.
Oh,
yeah. No, Austin Hicks is the pole vault coach at Buckeye Pole Vault.
Okay.
He's got a great jump too.
Hell yeah.
I need to like get under his skin a little bit, get him like jumping again. Cause I don't know. I can't stand it. Like there's so many people that I don't think they understand how little you can improve in college. Yeah. Like, I mean, I it's not like I had bad coaches.
Garrett said the other night, he only improved 3 inches in college.
His entire undergrad at Stanford. Yeah. Cause he jumped 17 in high school. His freshman year at college, he jumped
5'10".
5 meters.
Oh, 5 meters.
And then his sophomore year, 16, he jumped like 5'10".
16.
And then his junior year, he finally PR'd and jumped 5'25".
So,
and then his senior year, I think he jumped 5'26".
17.3.
So like a 3 inch in 4 years. And then he goes to ASU and his dad coaches him for a year. And that was like one of the deals. He's like, hey, like I'm using, because he had redshirted a year because he had surgery on his hip. And one of the deals when he went to ASU, he's like, hey, like I'll come and jump for you guys if my dad can coach me. If not, I'm just going to jump unattached, like at my dad's. And they're like, okay, he can coach you. And he goes from 526 to 550.
Damn.
In 1 year.
Crazy.
But it was like, I was thinking about the other day. I was like, I had good pole vault coaches and like I definitely learned some stuff. But like I never learned how to sprint, never learned anything about the pole drop. He taught me a bottom arm, which helped. But I never raised my grip. I never really moved up to bigger poles. Like I was jumping on 15.6 poles in high school and then jumped on them all through college. And probably never gripped it. If anything, I think I gripped lower in college than I did in high school.
Yeah. What my college coach was really good at for me, and I'll say this, but like, don't take this the wrong way. He wasn't a very good practice coach. Like,
same.
Like,
yeah.
He wasn't like telling me like angles of pole, like this, that. I mean, it was all about like feel and practice. And like, I wasn't jumping really high in practice, but when I would go to a meet, like everything would turn the fuck up, but he would keep me like so calm and collected at meets that I would jump so well in meets in college because he had so much experience like coaching in the Olympics, like coaching pole vault national champions at Auburn. Like, so he had so much meet experience that I would like get all, you know, that like nervous new kid in college.
Yeah.
But then he would just keep me like calm, cool, and collected. And that's why I jumped as well as I did in college, because he was like such a better meet coach. And I think Dean is definitely much better of a practice coach. And obviously Dean has more personal experience at meets. And it has just taken me like a little while to like fully trust in Dean, like to like I did with Coach Tiffin.
Yeah.
Like, cause I would, anything Coach Tiffin said went. And then you remember that one time I like didn't listen to Dean and got like fucked up and he got all mad at me. So like I've learned now to like completely trust Dean. And I think now we like jive way, way better than we did like the first 2 years. But
it's just, I don't know. Like, I mean, I PR'd, my high school PR was exactly 5 meters and my collegiate PR ended at exactly 5:30. So I improved by about a foot, but it was mostly through just like just training really hard. I don't know. I don't feel like I got all that much better technically at pole vault. I mean, if you look at it, at the start of college, I just didn't have a bottom arm. And at the end of college, I had a bottom arm, but still somehow lost my hips.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, okay, I feel like the last 2 years, I mean, I spent like a year straight where the only thing I thought about was the pole drop. And then a year straight where the only thing I thought about was like the run. And then now I'm kind of like not thinking about a whole lot other than just like keeping those two things together and like putting it together, feeling comfortable. And it's like, this year, I feel like I'm finally almost good.
Yeah.
I'm hoping next year I can get my body healthy enough to train harder for longer. Because I got to hit like a decent fall this year. But like I just kind of slowly feel like these little aches and pains kind of making it so I have to take my foot off the gas training wise.
Yeah.
And like if you take your foot off the gas long enough, you can't really hop back in quickly.
Yeah. You essentially took the foot off the gas so long that you downshifted.
Yeah.
And then
if I hop back in, I'd be
right. You're at too low of a gear. It's like you need to kind of like slowly get back up and then you can slam the
which pedal. I know now. I mean, that's a mistake I made in the past. I would like, you know, take 3 weeks off because something hurt and then I'll try and jump right back into where I left off and shocker, get hurt again. And so it's like, okay, like this year, I feel like my pole vault ability is finally almost level with my like athleticism. And then I don't know. So hopefully next year I can train even harder.
Bro, if my pole vault ability gets equal to my athleticism,
if you don't jump 6:30, I'll cry.
My kids were asking me the other day, they were like, what's your PR? And I was like 5:70 and it was like 18.8. And somehow it like came up. They were like, yeah, like what's like 6 meters? And I was like 19.8. And I was like, if that was my PR, you motherfuckers would never see
me. You would never. I tell my kids that every day. I was like, if I was a 19 foot pole vaulter, you would never see me again.
Yeah.
I would be out of here. Yeah,
so just hope that I don't get better.
I mean, I love Coach. Actually, I probably wouldn't be out of there.
Well, what's so cool about our situation is like if one of us did jump 19 feet and we were getting constant like chances to go overseas, like Dean would be like, fuck yeah, go. Like,
yeah.
Go. Like,
yeah, we're in like a pretty unique situation.
Don't stay here and feel like you have to coach. Like, go do the pole vault dream, which is awesome. Like,
yeah.
That's even an option. Like, we don't have a job that we're worried that if we jump too high that we're not going to be able to work X many hours and then not have money and to get fired from our job. It's like, it's always going to be there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a good situation.
I was like, when I went to Atlanta for like 3 weeks or something for the summer, to like jump at these meets, Dean was like, yeah, just go.
I forgot you asked what poles I was bringing to Texas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, let's see. Last year, in college, the biggest pole I ever cleared a bar on was a 16-170. It was like a 20.0.
For everyone to know, you're on carbon.
Yeah, I'm on the Pacer carbons, which 490s are flexed the same as UCS.
Okay.
But the 15-6s aren't. Actually, this is kind of interesting. Like, I feel like people should know this. So carbon poles, every 6 inches, you add 2.5 to the flex. Or you subtract 2.5 to the flex if you want to know what it is. So like, okay, say I'm jumping on a 15-foot 18.0. Yeah. And I wanted to know what the next 15-6 pole is. Well, the same pole would be a 15-6 20.5.
So the next pole would be a 19.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like I didn't explain that well.
But, no. I was actually going to use 18.0 as like the number.
Really? That you said that. That's actually what I do. So anyways, I set my PR on a 15.6 170. It was a 18.5. And then the biggest pole I ever cleared a bar on was a 490 20.0. and I cleared 525 on that, but it was probably my highest jump. I was just a wuss at the next bar. I tried to go up a pole when I shouldn't have. But anyways, for Texas, so this year is the first time in 3 years that I've been hitting my PR pole again, but this time in practice. I've been hitting that 15.6, 18.5, which I jumped 530 on from a longer run in college. I'm on it from like one or two runs shorter of it in practice now. So that's kind of cool because I think if anything, I'm still lighter than I was in college.
Yeah.
And so anyways, if I'm hitting that in practice, it's usually always the case where I can hit one or two poles bigger than that in a meet. Right. And so if I'm hitting that from eight lefts in practice, I'm bringing like 1 15-6 pole to catch my step. I have this small 70 and a big 70. The small 70 sucks. It's known as blue. All my homies hate blue. And then yellow is the next pole. That's the one I set my PR on, in college. That'll probably be the pole. I hope I don't even start on it in the meet. I hope I start on the next pole.
Yeah.
Cause I've got 3 15-6 poles. I've got a 270s and a 75. 75 is a great pole. I'm kind of hoping that I don't have to change lengths during the meet, but if it happens, it happens, whatever.
Yeah.
So I've got 3 15-6 poles.
The first time I went from 15-6s to 16s, I changed mid-meet. And the first time I went from 490s to 5 meters, I changed mid-meet.
And I think it's the right move. Last year, I was trying the thing where I would just start on really small 490s and gripping way down on them. So yeah. That way I could like just be on 490s. And like I've heard of a lot of people doing that. Like your wife is doing that with 15-foot poles. She starts on small ones holding low and is just kind of like working her way up as she goes up poles.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people that works. Like if your phobia is literally the length of the pole, or not phobia, your struggle is like just the length of the pole, that's a good way to do it. Yeah. I don't really have any issue with the length of the pole anymore because I used to have such a bad pole drop that the length of the pole would just kill me every time I went up. Now I feel pretty comfortable with my pole drop.
Yeah.
And so I've got 3 15-6 poles. The first one sucks. The middle one I can jump at least 17 on. And the big one I think I can jump 530 on, which would be cool. 17.4.
Yeah.
And if I get past that, which my goal at Texas is to just get on a 490, because the first 490 in the bag I'll have would be that 20.0 again. And I think I can jump pretty high. I bet I've got 40 in that. 40 plus. Being conservative.
Yeah.
And anything after that would just be a dream come true. Because then it would be a legitimate lifetime pole PR would be the pole after that. The 19.5.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm bringing to Texas. I'm going from 8. And so last year at Texas, I got on like a 5'10", 14.0, which don't ask me the weights. I think it's like a 200 or something. But
weights don't matter.
Yeah, weights don't matter. So it's a 14.0. So I... and probably going to only go on 5'10s from 8.
Because, what do you weigh right now?
Probably like 185, something like that.
Nice. Could I get that in stone?
22 stone. yeah, no. So I'll bring all 5'10s. I'll bring a 14.8, 14.5, 14.0, 13.5, 13.0. And then probably my 12.6 and my 12.4.
Bro, if you get on a 12.4,
I know
you're going 6 meters.
I know I might not bring the 12.4 just so that I can fit Wendell's poles in there.
Yeah, I'm gonna have space in my. I'm bringing.
Nope. I want the 150.
I don't care. You can have it.
No, I won't. No, I think Wendell poles will fit inside my poles, so we'll be Gucci. But then yeah, so every, you know, it's a good practice to like just bring a small pole for your five left or like whatever your short run is. So. I'll bring like a 490, like 16.3 or something.
I bring a 15.170 that's like an easy roll and pull from five just to get the juices flowing. And then I'll probably honestly only take like one jump from five lefts. And then I go back to whatever the long run is, hit a Huvion on like the small 15.6 pole, take one up on the medium 15.6 pole. And I'll probably be good from there. You know, I can make the first three bars on that pole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I try not to jump too much in warm-ups.
After last practice, I was surprised that 14.8 was kind of kicking my butt. Or not really kicking my butt. It was just bigger than I thought a 14.8 would be. But I have a 14.5 and then a 14.0. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll get on some bigger 5.10s. And that'll give me an idea of like what exactly I need to bring. But dude, I love the feeling of that 5.10 because even gripping down on it with the shittiest jumps, I was
you
like...
Were like you were putting a foot on 550 yeah. every time. Like with even jumps you were bailing on midway through, yeah. you would like bail, get off the pole, and clear 18 feet by 6 inches.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm excited for 8 lefts. I'm excited for Texas. Hopefully.
Dude, you know what I'm excited for? Is Garrett's finally fucking traveling with us.
Oh, yeah.
Because last year, he was, I mean, that hamstring of his was just such a burden. So it'll just finally be all three of the boys again.
Yeah.
Riding around and getting it.
Riding around fucking getting it.
It's just, I don't know. It brings the hype up for sure. And he's a really good meat coach.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think Dean's got to stay home and hold down the fort. I was telling, because we're bringing three of our younger athletes with us. I was like, you guys are going to kind of be our coaches. I was like, your job's going to be like, record us.
Yeah, record us and
hype us up. And honestly, if any of my club kids are watching, I'd jump better anyways, because I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah. That's why, dude, you remember that club practice that I jumped in last year?
I've set every practice PR I've ever had in a club practice, like when I'm jumping with the high schoolers.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I don't know. Hypes you up.
Yeah,
it's like having a crowd basically.
yeah I jumped 18.6 in front of the kids and I was like, yeah,
wait, today's Wednesday.
Yeah,
y'all get this bonus pod.
Boner pod.
God, the season's so much better.
All right, I gotta shit my fucking yo out.
We always crush coffee right before this.
All right, see y'all later. Yeah,
catch y'all on the flip. We'll get
give me your coochie.
I'm gonna do that roast my vault thing eventually. I gotta hit up Sean.
Oh yeah,
Francis.
DS some ideas.
I've already got like 10 videos.
Well, DM us ideas for podcasts.
No, topics. I don't want their opinion. Oh. I'm funny.
Fuck them.
All right. Don't tell me anything.
Bye.